Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, ResolutionRDO.com.
For the first time in human history, for the first time in all of human history, almost all of mankind is politically awake. And these new and old major powers face still yet another novel reality, in some respects unprecedented. And it is that while the lethality of their power is greater than ever, their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people. Literally, it was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control.
And you will know us by the trail of dead.
The truth of your world government has now been exposed. We know you are ruthless. We know you are evil. Today the Rockefeller, to the Rothschild representatives here, to the Queen of the Netherlands, to all of you, we tell you, you are not our queens. You are not our kings. You are not our gods. We do not belong to you. We are not your slaves. We stand as free humans have stood since the beginning of time against the strong men, against the thugs, against the bullies. We will defeat your world government. We will defeat world taxation. We will defeat your control grid. God is on our side. I stand before the creator of the universe. And I ask the creator of the universe, as our founding fathers did in 1776, to lead, guide, and direct us, and to give us the power and the foresight and the understanding and the will to stand against your entire agenda, including your final plan of world population reduction of 80% that Henry Kissinger penned in 1973. Why do you put mercury in the vaccines instead of sodium chloride in the water? Why? Why do you put cancer viruses in the vaccines? Why have you used depleted uranium now in four separate nations? You're arrogant. You have the sickness that elites have had throughout history in their literal and, in some cases, figurative ivory towers. You believe that you're invincible. You will and you are failing now. Your new world order will fall. Humanity will defeat you. The answer to 1984 is 1776.
The orders that are taken right now are unconstitutional. Understand right now what you guys are doing here today will play a effect throughout history. We are tired of these private Federal Reserve bankers who are running this country and destroying this country from the inside. The tyranny that they committed against you and your family as well. You would have stand here as Americans because we know our founding fathers died for this very right.
I declare this to be an unlawful assembly. I order all those assembled to immediately disperse. You must leave the immediate vicinity. If you remain in this immediate vicinity, you will be in violation of the Crimes Code. No matter what your purpose is, you must leave. If you do not disperse, you may be arrested and/or subject to other police action. Other police action may include actual physical removal, the use of riot control agents and/or less lethal munitions, which could cause risk of injury to those who remain.
The American people allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency. First by inflation, and then by deflation. The banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Thomas Jefferson.
We must
Resolution Radio at the Resolution Radio Network at resolutionradio.com. You listen to the St. Thomas Show, and I am your host, St. Thomas. I'm going to call in and listen. It's 607-203-5423. That's area code 607-203-5423. We've got a really good show for you tonight. I've got two main things I'm going to hit. First, later near the bottom of the hour, I'm going to feature a returning guest, an up-and-coming new artist named Carrie Ann Jean, and she has a new EP that's getting ready to come out here on July 29th. It's called Don't Miss EP, and we're going to feature some songs off of it tonight. So this is kind of an exclusive, so you'll actually get a chance to hear some of her new material on this upcoming EP. I've been following out for about 2 years, and I have to say I've been really happy with the releases that she's put out. First she played Lost the Spark, which was a song we first played a couple of years ago, and then she's come out with two separate singles since. She came out with It's Okay and Cactus. And Cactus is also featured on the EP as well. We did play it at the end of the second hour a few weeks ago on our segment, and actually had some pretty good feedback from that. So very much looking forward to Carrie Ann coming on and give us an update. We're going to cover some of our older material and then play some of the stuff off the new upcoming release, and just kind of get a little backstory on some of the songs as well as what are some of her current goals and upcoming events that she may already have scheduled and planned. And very much looking forward to watching her career grow with earnest, and hopefully she becomes a fairly well-known name in the music industry, especially when it comes to female artists. That's one of the things I do like about the song Suffragettes, which is based in Nashville, is the fact that they feature basically unknown and up-and-coming young singer-songwriters, especially in the country music genre. And they have some really good stuff. Matter of fact, I was just on their YouTube page earlier this week, and they had some making-of segments where some of the artists had gotten together and was writing new material. And you can see the whole creation process, where they're coming up with ideas, maybe a certain list that they want to put stuff on, and then figuring out the topic they want to write about, then working on the arrangements and everything else. Is actually, I always enjoy when they have a studio such and such as that, because the fact that those of us that maybe are aspiring or a little bit in the music biz but never get a chance to be a fly on the wall to see how the music is actually made, I've always enjoyed reading interviews with artists when they talk about the song creating process, and especially if there's a little nugget in there. For example, I'll give you a really good example. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. Def Leppard, they were working on Hysteria, which was long overdue, and it was delayed because of Rick Allen getting into a car crash on New Year's Eve in 1984, and he ended up losing his arm over it. And what's really great about the band is that they stuck with him. They didn't ditch him. They actually kept them on. And actually, in some ways, I think he's a better drummer now than he was with both hands. I mean, just the way he had to customize his kit and be able to, I think she's really got some talent. And I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I have listening to it. Not only do I enjoy playing it, but I also put it on my MP3 player and listen to it on a fairly regular basis myself. Okay, my board's freezing up here. Let me make a quick change.
Thank you.
All right, that's Lost the Spark by Terry Ann Jean. And if you want to find out more about her and her music, go to www.carrieannjean.com. That's K-A-R-I-A-N-N-E-J-E-A-N.com. You can also follow on Twitter at Carrie Ann Jean. And her new album, Don't Miss, is scheduled for release on July 29th. You can go ahead and purchase it on Amazon.com for merely $5.94. And it's got six really great songs. And of the six, it has two bonus acoustic tracks. And we're going to play one of those here a little bit later in the show. But like I said, that's Lost the Spark. And looking forward for Carrie Ann to tell us a little bit of background on herself, how she got into her music.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Like I said, I've really enjoyed your music. I've been watching your progress. And just a couple of things as a music fan, I have to say, whomever your photographer is, they're really good at capturing you and some of your best shots, must I say.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It was for this EP, we did a photo shoot with Coffee House Films because a good friend of ours owns the business, and he just did an amazing job. We had the best time.
Yeah, there's some good shots that you've had. Even just simple things like the one you had a couple years ago where it's you and an American flag laying on almost like a platform or a patio or something. It was actually pretty cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. Those ones are actually a really good friend of mine from high school, Stephanie Turntime. She's out of Los Angeles, California, and she's amazing. She's incredible at what she does.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. When did you really start to show an interest in music?
I've always been interested in music. My family is very musical. My mom's a really, really good singer, so she taught me all the technical things that you need to know to sing, mostly just because she didn't want to hear me singing bad because I was singing all the time, and she doesn't like bad singing, so she kind of gave me all the ins and outs vocally. I don't really ever remember a time that I didn't want to be a singer. Like, I always wanted to be, like, I went through phases, like normal little kids, you know, where they want to be a million different things. But I was always like, and a singer. I was like, I want to be a baby doctor and a singer. My mom was like, okay. I think that's the only one that actually stuck for a while. I was really like, I wanted to be, I called it the doctor that delivers babies. Like, I was really, really obsessed with that when I was like four, but I always wanted to be and a singer. So I don't really remember a time that I ever didn't want that. But I started singing in front of people when I was about 14 or 15, my freshman year in high school. I sang in the musical, The Wiz, and I got the role of Glinda the Good Witch. So I had like a couple solo songs. And that was the first time singing in front of people like that weren't my mom. So that was the first time I really got the bug for performing. 'Cause before that, everyone would always ask me to sing on the spot at like random moments in random places. And I just never felt like I was at the level. Like, I always compared myself to what was on the radio. And if it wasn't that good, then it wasn't happening. So I just didn't sing in front of anybody till my freshman year in high school. And then I started writing songs when I was about 12. I couldn't play any instruments then, so I just like wrote lyrics and melodies. And I still have that book somewhere. I would be interested to see how bad or good they are from back then. But yeah, then I just kept taking every opportunity I could to play or sing or write from that moment forward. And then last year, my boyfriend and I moved to Nashville from Studio City, California, and it's really picked up there. Being in this town where everyone is just so talented, it's very motivating and really, really forces you to get focused and ignites me anyway, my drive being around so many talented people. And so many opportunities to play, and so many other people that like to write songs, you know, and that are amazing at it. it's kind of pushed me to do more, be better, and that's what it's all about. So the last year I did a lot of writing, and then we've started booking and playing places around town pretty consistently, about a few shows a week usually. So it's been great so far. I love Nashville. I'm a big fan of Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville's a very beautiful city too. I mean, the when you go down there where the Capitol is and stuff like that, I mean, the Governor's Mansion and the Legislative House, my God, it looks like it's right out of Athens or something. It is absolutely beautiful city.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really awesome. Great. There's really, really
I
get big
you go
bills
on annual
going
conference
up to the Capitol building.
Here, and I always look forward to going to it because it's to me it's worth the, you know, 5-plus-hour drive because it's just like, man, it's Nashville. I mean,
oh yeah,
Cash Museum.
Absolutely, yeah. We like to run the hills over by the Capitol building because they're like the steepest hills ever. And
yeah,
if you're going to work out, you might as well be surrounded by something, like, breathtakingly beautiful. And when you get to the top, you can really see a lot of the city. So it's really, really pretty. Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. The President's Grave is not very big or prominent at all. It's just kind of a small, simple, you know, almost like a gazebo type of thing. But it's just kind of like, wow, how insignificant that your presidency is remembered by the size of your memorial, you know what I mean?
I know. How sad is that? That's super sad.
That's terrible. Okay, so let's move forward a little bit. So when you actually started committing a little bit more time to recording with the intention of wanting to record more seriously as an artist, what were your first sessions like?
My first set, let's see. Do you mean for this EP or just in general?
Well, when you first started recording, I mean, you're just going from process, like...
I've never had any kind of anxiety when I go to sing. I get more anxiety when I'm talking because I'm, like, really goobery and I ramble a lot. So I get more nervous talking than I do singing, but I didn't get stage fright. I the song that you just played, Lost the Spark, was actually the first one that I recorded in a real studio with a real producer and, like, took direction. Like, I'd been kind of toying around with recording some of my songs in, like, my friends' closets and stuff with their recording equipment. But in that situation, they don't really know what they're directing. Like, we were all just kind of flying by the seat of our pants, so it's not really a great learning curve. But I started recording with Craig Stoll, who I wrote Cactus with. He also produced Cactus. And this is his song. Lost the Spark is one that he had that he'd written with his wife, Candy Chase, and a girl that is known now as Banks. And she is like an alternative R&B, like she's like a pretty big deal. You've heard a million of her songs on different movies and stuff. I always hear her stuff on movies. And it's so funny because she wrote this when she was 16 and now her stuff is really like kind of creepy and dark. And, like, it's, like, generally in, like, the horror scene of horror movies because it just kind of got that creepy feel to it in a good way. but they had written this song, and he'd had it laying around, and he was just kind of, like, testing me out to see if I would be someone he'd want to work with and if I could sing some demos for him. So he brought me into the studio with this song that he wanted to record, and I loved it. I thought it was right up my alley as far as where I wanted to go as an artist. I wasn't totally sure who I was yet, but I was, you know, just kind of testing the waters. And it was very, very cool to be given direction because I'm such a perfectionist that I want people to tell me, you know, when I'm in the process of recording, like, that's the time to be critical. You know, it's not
right
after it's been mixed, mastered, produced, and put on the radio. Being critical at that moment is really unnecessary because there's nothing I can do about it. But in that moment, like, I want everything to be as great as it can be. So, like, the more critiques, the better. And he was glad that I was that way. It makes me kind of coachable. So I learned a lot about the recording process. Things that you don't think about, like pronunciation, pronouncing your words instead
yes
of just mumbling through them while you're singing, and the emotion side of it. Are you feeling the lyrics? Are you even thinking about what you're singing? Or are you just thinking about getting the pitch perfect? And in this day and age, they put auto-tune on everything anyway. So really stressing out about pitch really isn't, you know, it really doesn't need to happen. You know, if you have a great emotional performance, they'd rather tune that than have a perfectly on pitch, you know, line that means nothing, you know. So it was a very cool experience to learn how the recording process worked, and things that made me a better performer and a better recording artist that I would have never learned from if, you know, it had been any other situation. Craig was really, really honest and really patient and amazing. So I learned a lot about the recording process itself. And then when I went in to do the next song that I did, which was one that I wrote by myself, It's Okay, when we went in to do that, I had a better handle on things. And I actually only sang through that song like one time. And then I did some punch-ins like here and there, you know. And that came out really cool too, because it was a completely different experience. But I thought the mic was amazing, and the engineer and the producer were amazing on that too. And then Cactus was back with Craig, and it was kind of the same situation as it was with Off the Spark. He hears things that the human ear does not hear, and that is so beneficial because some people can hear certain frequencies and stuff. And just little nitpicky things, you know, when I listen back to Cactus now, I can't find anything that I wish I had done differently, which is important when you have a song that's going to be recorded, because it's obviously it's living on, you know, it's going to live on basically forever somewhere. And being able to listen to it a million times like I have and still get an emotional response and not go back and say, oh, I wish I had pronunciated that word better, you know, that's hard to come by for someone who's so picky like I am.
Because there was a thing we were talking about misheard lyrics, and some of them are really famous ones. Like there's like the Eagles' Hotel California. It's like if you listen to it, it's like, "What a dark, just a highway." It's like, "Cool whip in my hair." Like, really? You know, cool whip is in your hair. Okay, that's really good. Or Jimmy Hendrix, it sounds like, "Excuse me, well, I kissed this guy." Okay, rock on, dude.
Yeah, exactly. And I mishear lyrics all the time. Like, I was positive that this one Carrie Underwood lyric was something completely different than it was. I think it's her Blown Away song. And it's like something like tear-soaked whiskey. Oh, it's like tear-soaked whiskey memory or something like that. And I thought it was like so different, but it made perfect sense. I was like, well, she wrote it wrong. I didn't hear it wrong. She wrote it wrong.
That's great. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and play It's Okay so that way people can hear your second song. And it's got more of a hat to
you. Thank you. I think as far as like stylistically, I think that over the last few songs that I've put out, while I've been, you know, wanting to put something out for the people that have been supporting me and my fans and people that have been asking for music, I think I've also been trying to find who I was as an artist and just trying out different aspects of my own personality and my own likes and dislikes and just kind of trying out new things. And I think, I'm sure we'll talk about it later, I think now I feel like I've gotten into a groove where I've written enough songs and I've sang enough songs and I've performed enough that I know who I am as an artist. It's Okay is cool because it was such a spur of the moment thing that I just wrote it, recorded it, and that was it. There was no really like time lapse where I could go back and redo or rethink or rewrite or do it overthink, you know. It's just kind of,
yes,
it's literally my stream of consciousness at that moment when I was at my house missing my boyfriend and I wrote it in 45 minutes. So I think it's kind of cool that moment like lives on through the song.
Yes, I'm a big fan of that because there's too many bands I'm a big fan of is less time in the studio. You get a band like Metallica where they get in the studio and they sit there too long. The more you listen to the material, the more you want to mess with it because you've already heard it and you want to change it. Whereas sometimes if you limit yourself, say, okay, cool, whatever recording session we're doing, you know, 4 weeks or 5 weeks or whatever, we're not doing any more after that because, you know, we'll lose the magic. And I'm a firm believer yeah. that you should just you can hear it with fresh ears, and then sometimes there's a lot of magic there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so here is It's Okay by Carrie Ann Jean.
It's okay, don't want you. Pride has no place here. I'll never raise here. I just wanna dance to the beat of your heart's drum. I'm here to fall. You could catch me.
That I missed him, and it was okay that I was so kind of almost a little bit dependent on him because he felt the same about me. And in previous relationships, you know, feeling like you missed someone or feeling like, you know, you were overwhelmed with emotion for someone, you know, it was bad because they pretended to feel the same way, but, you know, they didn't give as much to the relationship as they should have for as much as I was giving to the relationship. So it kind of had a revelation that it was all right that I was feeling that because this time it was good. You know, it was a healthy relationship and it's okay to miss the people you love because you love them and they love you back. So I just sat down at the keyboard and I had just learned all the chords and I had just gone through a few weeks of music theory. So I was finally able to start playing songs on the keyboard by myself, which was really cool for me, being someone who has always been, you know, I've never had experience with instruments before that moment. So I sat down and I just started fiddling around with different chords and I just started writing. And it was so I wasn't thinking about structure. I wasn't thinking about rules. I wasn't thinking about anything. I really didn't even think that anybody besides my boyfriend was going to hear the song. So I just wrote what I was thinking about, wrote what I was feeling top to bottom, broke it down into, you know, verse and chorus structure. And then I had made a work tape, you know, just recorded it on my phone and sent it to my boyfriend and he really liked it. And he always came with me to my piano lessons. So the next day at my piano lesson, he was like, "Oh, Carrie-Anne wrote a song for me. You should hear it." I was like, "Oh, geez, okay." So I played the song for my teacher. And he was very, very critical, and he loved it. He was like, "This is awesome. Let me produce this for you. This is a great song. That's the first one you've done top to bottom all by yourself with instruments included." And I was like, "Okay, let's do it." So we went in, and, you know, I think it was like a week later or something, we went in and recorded the song, and we had the song, like, mixed, mastered, everything was done that night, and it was given back to me. So there was no time to, like, go back through. Like, oftentimes I write a song or co-write a song, and then we sit on it. We play it out a few times. I go through with a fine-tooth comb all the lyrics, you know, and overanalyze everything. And that's generally how I do things. And then once we go into the studio, it's a pretty quick process, so you don't have to deal with, you know, paying more than you need to in a studio, deciding what you like and what you don't like in your songs. So this one really just we didn't give it any time, which I'm appreciative of because I have no idea what kind of song it would be if I went through and changed and rearranged all the things that were, you know, different and weird, because I like all the things that are kind of different and weird about it, listening back to it now.
Well, that's a good work ethic to have, because, in fact, the studio time is very expensive, and sometimes not the studio itself, but the producer or the mixer can also be an additional cost that can be very prohibitive at times.
Super, super expensive. And for an independent artist, you know, I have to be conscious and careful about how I use my time and use my money, because you can make a little go a long way, or you can, you know, be careless and ponder around in the studio for an additional $100 or something, which could transition into merchandise, which could transition to, you know, more prints, which, you know, you could spend that money so much better. So it's a little different when you don't have a recording label.
Producers have, I have an interesting thing. They're not just there to turn the knobs and move the sliders around in a certain way on how they hear it. They're also there to give you constructive feedback. For example, when Kiss was recording their Destroyer album in 1976, Bob Ezrin, who had done a lot of work with Alice Cooper previously, they were already starting to do the beginning of the sessions, and then he literally stopped everything and said, "All right, you guys don't know anything about music, do you?" "Well, no, not really." The only one that had any musical training at all was Paul Stanley, because he had actually graduated from the Fame School, the Academy of Music there, that the TV show Fame was actually shot. Mm-hmm. He was a graduate of that, so he actually had a little bit of musical training. Everybody else is all I had learned, you know, on their own. And so he literally had to go do music theory with them and start from scratch, so that way they could do it. One thing to say, the sessions. But again, if you've got a couple different producers and you get different results, it also depends on the time period that you're going for, Maybe they've already got some successful records. Maybe they just have a work ethic that you really appreciate. And actually, sometimes those producers become somebody because of the artists they work with, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And again, I enjoy watching behind the scenes features when artists record, because of the fact that you get to see a lot of the creative process. You know, if you ever find the Let It Be sessions where they really showed the Beatles working at the same time, chewing each other out, because it was a band that was documented that was falling apart, even though their personalities were conflicting with each other, the chemistry of the band was always there. I mean, how do you go from a falling apart session like Let It Be and come out with a masterful swan song like Abbey Road? It's the same band. You know, it's just like, oh, what the hell happened here? But again, there's a big magic there when you get the right producer. And I think it, that's key too, because we've seen Megadeth use Dan Huff, who is known for a lot of country music stuff there in Nashville. And so for four or five albums with Megadeth, I mean, we're talking like one of the kings of speed metal. And some interesting stuff came out of those recording sessions, but it just wasn't Megadeth. But as a musician, it really expanded Dave Mustaine's ability as a songwriter. So when he started to come back to his original sound a little bit and a couple more personnel changes, I think he needed that time period to grow as an artist. So again, just didn't have, or like in your case, you're taking some music theory stuff. So you're starting to learn new things as a musician that you may not have really learned as a performer. So there's a difference between a musician and a performer.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Okay, so
having that knowledge is irreplaceable.
You said the Cactus was an interesting song in its own right, too. So it was more or less brought to you, and you just kind of expanded on it. Is that what you were saying earlier?
What did you say?
The song Cactus. You say that the guy brought it to you, and then you just kind of added to it, and then you got the results that you have?
No, Cactus is a song. I brought Cactus to Craig, who wrote Lost the Spark, and he wrote Cactus with me. Cactus, I was bringing a lot. I was sending Craig voice notes like it was no tomorrow of songs that were like basically done, but they didn't have any chords behind them, because when I started working with him, I didn't have any knowledge of music theory or instruments or anything, which is really crippling for a songwriter who wants to be creative. I can't tell you how wonderful it's been to be able to sit down with a guitar or a piano and write my own song if I want to, top to bottom, or contribute on the chord progression side of things in a co-write. But at the time, I didn't really have a whole lot of knowledge. So I wrote Cactus. After I went back to my hometown, after being gone for a really long time, I was visiting a friend of mine, and I stopped at the store and got out of the car, and it's very, very windy in Palmdale, California, and it was no different. I got out of the car, and I almost got smashed by my car door because it was so windy, and just the smell in the air and that dusty wind, and just I was literally like, it sounds so silly and cliche, but I was like transformed back to the person I was when I lived there, you know, back to high school Carrie Ann. And I felt like I'd grown so much and I had changed so much since I'd been there that it was kind of almost like an eerie feeling to be kind of back at the scene of the crime, if you will. Because I did a lot of growing there. There was a lot of tough stuff that happened there, you know, heartbreak, and my parents got divorced, and there was just a lot of things that were hard there, but a lot of wonderful things as well that go along with growing up. So I just was like totally transformed and was super, super inspired. So I just wrote down, like, the verses are about the same as they were when I wrote them down in the car, like almost verbatim. The rest was kind of over time I added to it. And then I brought a near finished product in to Craig, and he started putting chords behind it and helped create a lift for the chorus. And then I wrote the lyrics while he was on the phone. Like, he was like, oh, give me 1 second. After we'd pulled a chord progression and I found the melody, and I wrote, like, all the lyrics to the chorus while he was on the phone, and then he was like, oh, okay. Perfect. So it was really cool to be able to kind of write all the words myself in that song, because it was my story. You know, it was very telling about where I came from, and kind of a reminiscent type of a feel, I think I get. A lot of people say they get out of the song when they listen to it. So it was great to be able to do that and contribute that and then share it, because I felt like it was the perfect way to tell fans and to tell new listeners, like, where I came from, because where you come from is so much of who you are, that I thought that that was a really cool way to kind of introduce myself in a way.
Yeah, it's definitely got a really good hook to it, and it gets some memorable licks to it. I mean, I can almost hear you singing Cactus and Tumbleweed. I mean, that's what keeps sticking in my head.
Oh, cool. Good. I'm glad it sticks in your head. That's fantastic.
Yeah, because that's one of the things that I remember. I'm like, Cactus and Tumbleweed.
Well, the funny thing about that is I was really literal when I was writing it. Like, literally between Cactus and Tumbleweeds is where I grew up. You'll see in the video, I actually filmed it in my hometown in a bunch of different spots where I'd driven past a million times, where I used to hang out. And someone, I sent in this song for a crowd review. So I got like 100 reviews on that song, which most of them were really, really good, which I was happy about. But somebody said, I really like the metaphor of the cactus and tumbleweeds, like, stuck between a rock and a hard place. And I was like, I totally didn't do that on purpose, but it totally works like that too. Like, the metaphor of being stuck between a rock and a hard place, like, you don't know where to go. It works to be stuck between a cactus and a tumbleweed. I mean, it doesn't get much more uncomfortable than that. But there's more to life than that place that you're in. So I thought that was really awesome that I accidentally did that.
Yeah, so here is Cactus by Carrie Ann Jean.
The wind smells the same. It blows me back to who I used to be. Little wide-eyed girl, wondering if there's a light past Highway 14. It's just a place they say. It ain't as bad as you think it could be. A little desert sand.
All right. Welcome back to the Sunny Thomas Show here on resolutionrdo.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Sunny Thomas Show and also listen to Anna call 607-203-5423. And tonight we're featuring returning guests, music artist Carrie Ann Jean. If you want to find out more information on her, go to carrieannjean.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at Carrie Ann Jean. And she's a very busy girl. Looking at her schedule, she's got, what, 3 gigs on Saturday alone? You go, girl.
Thank you.
She's relentless, which means she's definitely got some hunger to get out there and make sure people hear her music and catch her in the flesh. I mean, obviously, she's not only really appealing to the ear, but also appealing to the eye. And that's always a good thing when it comes to putting covers on albums. But, with bottom line, with Rubber Meets the Road, it's the music. And she definitely delivers.
Lighthouse is kind of a cool story because my boyfriend likes to be really cheesy sometimes. And he was saying to me, he said, like, your eyes are like a lighthouse and it leads me home. And I literally, like, stopped what I was doing and went and wrote it down because I thought it was really cute and it was really funny. Like, he was purposely trying to be cheesy, but I thought it would make for a really cool song. And someone being your lighthouse, like, that's how I feel about him. You know, he is like the light in my life. I'm never scared to kind of jump out of my comfort zone or do things like move to Nashville and play a bunch of shows and pray to make it. You know, I feel so courageous because I have his light in my life. And so I brought the idea into the writing room with my friend Angela Marie, who is a Canadian country singer, and she has become one of my best friends. And she was actually in a horrible mood the day we wrote Lighthouse, and she hated everything. She hated the idea. She hated everything she came up with. She hated everything I came up with. So she was like, you know what? I am way too cranky. I need you to, like, start this off. Like, I need you to have a serious, like, layout of this song, or because I hate everything. So I came up with the hook line and kind of coming up with like a beach theme. And I wanted it to be kind of like the story between me and my boyfriend. You know, we were long distance for a long time. So that's what the first verse is. You know, the first verse is about them falling in love. The second verse is about them being long distance, which is really kind of our story. But we put a beach theme spin on it. And I thought that tied in kind of cool with the lighthouse hook. And I just love the title Lighthouse in general because I've never heard it before. And then eventually I got, like, enough pieces in place, and then she just took off with, like, line after line of brilliant lyrics. Like, the pre-chorus, the first pre-chorus, I think she said something like, sun was pouring colors down on golden clouds. And I'm like, Lee, why are you so good at what you do? So we had a really good time with it once we got started, and eventually the song grew on her, and I loved the feel of it. I wanted it to be really upbeat and kind of have that positive vibe to it. And I think that once we got it into the studio with Joey, who produced Don't Miss, Lighthouse, and Beach Bonfire on the new EP, he made it like 900 times better than I could have imagined. He is the best producer I've worked with to date, as far as understanding my sound and really putting his heart into it without making it what he wanted it to be. He listened to everything I said, everything I wanted, and he spoke my language. So I would say, like, crazy things about some of the songs, like, I want it to be Keith Urban meets Daughtry. Like what does that mean? Nobody knows what that means, but Joey knew what that meant. And he brought all the songs to life, including Lighthouse, really amazingly. And he had two versions of Lighthouse for me when I went in to see what the instrumental was looking like after he had kind of developed the sound. And one of them was very slow, and it didn't have the heartbeat bass, the heartbeat drums behind it. It was like a ballad. And he was like trying so hard to make it super country. And I was like, he's like, I think this is what you want. I was like, no, Joey, this is not what I want. He's like, okay, this is what I wanted. And he played closer to what it is now. And I was like, yes, that's it. This is exactly what I had in mind. He's like, oh, I thought it was too rock and roll. I was like, no, Joey, I love it. I love rock and roll. So it was, I think that country music these days has allowed for a lot of branching out and a lot of boundary pushing. And, you know, I'm all for boundary pushing, especially if it's in the best interest of the song. And it just so happened to be for Lighthouse.
Yeah, and I notice a lot of the country music these days has gone more like adult contemporary rock with a twang, is what I've been calling it lately. But then you get someone like Casey Musgraves, who really takes it down to a more folky level, and you're like, wow, this is so refreshing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, here's Lighthouse by Carrie Ann Jean. And you can also follow on Twitter at Carrie Ann Jean. And also, just a little bit of note, she She's one of those artists that actually has a little name for her fans. They're called Genies. How did that come about, Carrie Ann?
I read somewhere that most artists have a name for their fans. And I was like, that is so cool. I want a name for my fans. So I kind of just started like brainstorming over time. And since it's Jean is my middle name, it's what I go by, Jean, I thought Genies is kind of cool because I'm very into mystical type creatures and magical type creatures. So I thought Genies was cool because, you know, genies are supposed to grant wishes, and that's what they were doing by supporting my music. They were granting my lifelong dream, lifelong wish is to share music with people. And by them, you know, engaging with me and listening to my music and buying my music and coming to the shows, they're granting my wishes. And additionally, I kind of have a philosophy that we all are responsible for granting our own wishes as well. So we're all genies in a way. So I thought that that was kind of a cool way to pull in my personal philosophies with my name as well. And it stuck, which I was super excited about. I thought people would think it was dumb, even though it was really, really cool to me. But people really liked it, so I stuck with it, and my genie army is amazing and stronger than ever, and they just shock me every single day with how thoughtful and loving and supportive they are of everything that I do. It's like I feel like they're as excited about the new music as I am, and I am like through the roof, so it's really cool to kind of have a team that's so excited about you. I've got like fan Twitter pages and stuff. And, you know, I just think that that is like the craziest thing ever. Like it still blows my mind. It blows my mind.
And it's,
oh my gosh, it's amazing.
There's your fan club name of Kiss is the Kiss Army. And then of course, Twisted Sister had a little bit more vulgar version of their fan club. Basically the sick MF fans of Twisted Sister, and they just shortened it down to SMS, which actually became its own song on the Stay Hungry album, which was their breakthrough record. And everybody knows what an SMF is in metal. It's like, oh, Twisted Sister, you know. So it definitely,
oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah, it resonates. So I can see it's like, oh, are you a genie? It's like, either you're talking about Barbara Eden or you're talking about Carrie Ann Jean. Which is it, buddy?
Exactly, right? That's so cool.
Maybe for kicks and grins as a promo thing, maybe we should do a little genie outfit and do a promo post like that. That would be pretty cool.
I love characters and like especially Disney characters and stuff. Like I would love to just dress up like random people because I'm weird like that. So I will probably definitely do that at some point.
On your hand and then just like, oh, want to be a genie? Sign up for my fan club. I mean, I could see that being almost like a recruiting poster.
Yeah, seriously, I'm doing it. That's it. I'm doing it.
That rocks. What is the best way for people to keep track of your whereabouts and your music?
The best place is actually bandsintown.com/CarrieAnnJean. You can get the Bands in Town app. It's super, super easy. I'm like very picky about people getting apps for me and things like that. I want to make sure they actually work before I publicize anything. So before I signed up as an artist with Bands in Town, I signed up as, you know, a fan, I guess you could say, to get notified when concerts that I might be interested in are in my area. And it has been really, really cool. I get an email every time some like an artist that I follow on Facebook or Twitter has a show near me, and now fans, if they sign up and they can track me as well individually and get notified every time I have a show. And it's the easiest app for me to add my shows to and the easiest way for people to see my shows, what I have going on. So if you track me on bandsintown.com/CarrieAnnJean, you'll get notified every time I have a show. And I add them here in Nashville. They book, sometimes they book in advance, but most of the time they book last minute, like the week of or a couple weeks before. So it's really cool because it notifies you as soon as I announce, you know, as soon as I get booked, I put it on there, and and people can plan for it. And this weekend, I'm at Opry Mills Mall on Sunday during the day. I believe it's at 3 o'clock. And then that evening, I'm at Belcourt Taps. I'm hosting a writer's round with a couple of my friends. Laughlin, who is a group out of Georgia. They're a duo. They're amazing. And Tennille Arct, who's a Canadian country singer, she is awesome. I write with her a lot. And she was actually just part of the song Suffragettes thing that you were talking about. The last one you saw was probably hers because that was the last one they posted. Harder to Do, I think, is the song that they wrote. But she's going to be there during my round as well. So we're going to do a writer's round for about an hour at Belcourt Taps. And Belcourt Taps is like a really, really cool place in Nashville. They've got some of the best songwriters that come through there. So the show's before me and after me. They'll all be good, and they have great food too. So it's a good time.
Yes, definitely sounds like you've definitely got things in gear. And people definitely keep up with her. The retweets that I've been seeing for you tonight, I mean, obviously you do have a fairly rabid fan base of dedicated people, and I think that's really cool because of the fact that every artist needs that base to get started. And one of the things I've always appreciated in some bands, for example, is in Poison's one of their first videos, a couple of girls that were in there, they're kind of heavy set chicks or whatever, they were like some of the diehard fans, and so they included them in the video. And they were big sports band because the Poison talked about when they were still up and coming, they were sleeping on a lot of these fans' floors and stuff because of the fact that they couldn't afford their own place because what money they had to go towards taking care of themselves, making sure the gear worked and everything else. I mean, I'm very appreciative of the diehard fans that allowed them to crash at their places and all sorts of stuff. So I think that's really cool. So
absolutely, yeah, it's invaluable having people that care about what you're doing. I mean, it makes me sad when some artists forget about their fans, or they forget about, you know, where they came from, because, you know, if you take the fans out of what we do, then we don't have a job. Like, if nobody cares about what you're singing about, what you're playing about, like, you're not going to make a career. So every single person that shows support and interest, you know, they have my undying gratitude, that's for sure.
Yes, it's going to be very interesting to see exactly how your career is going to progress. So, Gary Ann, so we're going to play another one of your songs after the set here. And so before we let you go, we're going to talk real quick about the Unwritten song, which is a bonus track on the upcoming EP, Don't Miss. And again, you want to get yours on Amazon.com. Carrie Ann Jean. It's only for $5.94.
So. Unwritten song is probably one of my favorite songs I've written yet. It's really sad. It's not supposed to be happy by any means. It's something that came to me. I was just driving, and I don't remember what struck my interest on it, but I was thinking about stages of our lives being like a song, and when someone's taken from us too soon, they die too soon, it feels like you're living in their unwritten song. You just want to be with them, you want to, you know, share their life with them, and they're not there anymore, and it feels like you're left, you know, empty and confused. And you know, I've lost some people that I went to high school with, some friends of mine, unexpectedly, you know, in car crashes. And one of my best friends in the whole world lost her dad to suicide. And it's so hard to heal from that. There's no way to really put into words, but I tried. And we took that idea and we built around someone's life ending too soon as being an unwritten song. And it turned out really, really pretty. It turned out exactly how I wanted it to. And a lot of songs will take you through a sad moment and talk about how, you know, you move on, or how you can move past it, or how it can be okay again. This song lives in that moment of realizing that someone's gone from your life forever. And I get singing it live, I get really teary. I try my hardest to do the song justice without crying in the middle of it, but it's definitely an emotional song. And I hope what it does is makes people that have been in that situation or that are in that situation, you know, feel like they're understood and they're not alone and they're not crazy. You know, when someone that you love dies unexpectedly, you know, it's not, you don't have to be okay for a while. You know, you can grieve and that's okay. And this song is that moment in a nutshell.
Yeah, I could definitely relate with you there because my best friend from high school sadly committed suicide back in late 1999. And one of our favorite bands that we were always grew up with together was Poison. And now when I hear Something to Believe In, especially the second verse, it hits more home to me because at the time Brett wrote it about his roadie, Timo, who had died while they're on while he was on Christmas break. And really bothered me because that was like one of his best friends and close confidant. And so when my best friend had passed, I think that's whenever I go to the concert, either Poison or Brett, and when they sing it, it always has an impact for me. So I totally feel what you're talking about when you're talking about sometimes it's hard to perform the song because it has such sentimental value as well as just being a really good song.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, Carrie Ann, so we're looking forward to you coming back soon. Hopefully when you really start picking up the thing and start smoking the town because you got so many gigs booked, you don't know which way from Sunday. It looks like you're already on that route now, so I got to give you again the tip of the hat because you're working three or four shows in a day on a particular day, and that's a lot of work. So, I mean, you definitely have an inspiration to other up-and-coming artists that there's never not a good time to not promote yourself. Yeah,
absolutely. I agree. Yeah, I take every possible opportunity to get in front of people because if I, you know, even in the busy bars, if I get in front of one person that is inspired or excited or, you know, jumps on the genie army, then it's a time well spent. That's for sure.
Okay, well, this genie is definitely out of her bottle, and she's flying her magic carpet ride. So make sure you follow her on Twitter at Carrie Ann Jean. Also, go to her website at carrieannjean.com. And of course, as she mentioned, go to Bands in Town, download the app, and follow her on there, and get instant up to the minute updates of where she's performing at. And Carrie Ann, thank you very much for coming back on the Sunday Time Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon.
Have a good one.
All right, bye-bye.
You produce your own music and want to market it successfully. Your solution, Fire.com. This is how digital music distribution works. Register, load up song, and earn money. Fire.com takes your music into over 300 download portals. For example, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, or Beatport. Register now and take off with Fire's professional music distribution. Load up your music.
Do you want to fix America's police and take the country back in the process? If you answered yes, then CSPOA needs you. CSPOA.org, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is an organization comprised of citizens, sheriffs, police, and other government officials. We are taking America back sheriff by sheriff, county by county, and state by state. And we need you. Over 300 sheriffs constitutionally trained. We teach public servants the Constitution and need your help. Become a part of the solution today at CSPOA.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Is there a count somewhere?
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Boar's Head is bringing a slice of Japan to the deli. Introducing Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki Style Chicken. Tender, slow-roasted chicken breast, coated in our signature teriyaki glaze, where ginger, garlic, and a hint of brown sugar meet for a flavor that's both sweet and savory. New Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki Style Chicken. The bold flavor of Japan. Now at the deli. Only from Boar's Head. Compromise elsewhere.
It's a House of Blues break.
Hey, sometimes it's a whole lot easier listening to the blues than attempting to try to define it. According to blues guitarist Eric Girardi, the blues means so much to so many different people that it's just hard to define exactly what it is that makes this music so appealing.
But some people, it has such a profound effect. I really don't know, but all I know is the first time my dad threw me on my bed and made me listen to Jimmy Reed, and he scratched my Ozzy Osbourne record in the process and said, "Son, time we had a talk. Listen to this." It had a profound effect on me, and I just, whenever I picked up a guitar, that's what would come out. I'd be playing "Baby, What You Want Me to Do," no matter what I wanted to play. It just kept coming out. So let's just not question it, and let's just be happy that it's there, I suppose.
She put the car in drive, she just waved goodbye. Neither saw it coming when he crossed that center line. A whiskey glass and cigarettes, that hard-earned habit he can't kick. His only last regret became an innocent last breath. I can almost feel your heart beating out of my chest. I can almost see your life, what could have been next. This ain't how it's supposed to be. Someone stole your melody. How am I supposed to dance without your beat? I don't know how to move on when I just wanna sing along. To dance without your beat. I don't melody. I won't ever dance again without your beat. I don't know how to move on, and I don't want to be strong in your unwritten song. No, I don't know how to move on when I just want to sing along to
welcome back to the St. Thomas Show here on Resolution Radio Network at resolutionradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, Resolution RDO, and also you're listening to the St. Thomas Show, and I am your host, St. Thomas. You can also follow me on Twitter at St. Thomas Show, and also on my direct address at stthomas.com. Sure, check out our other programs on here on the Resolution Radio Network. We have Sacred Cow Barbecue with Patricia Aiken every Sunday. Radio Free South Africa every Monday with Karen Smith. Every Wednesday, we have the Public Assess Pool with James Edwards. And, of course, every Thursday, you're listening to the St. Thomas Show. Okay, we had a really good lengthy interview with Carrie Ann Jean. She's an up-and-coming new artist. I've discovered her on Twitter a couple of years ago. I've been following her ever since and been picking up her songs along the way. She has a brand new EP coming up on July 29th called Don't Miss. Go to Amazon.com. Make sure you support the artist. Download. It's only $6 and it's definitely worth every bit of it. She's definitely an artist in the making. It's going to hopefully turn some heads and hopefully bend many an ear, that's for sure. So thank you very much again, Carrie Ann Jean, for coming on. I'm looking forward to catching your music and watching your career with Ernest. Okay, listen, what's going on with the GOP convention is very interesting. Just saw a breaking news story here with on AOL that Trump will be holding off. He's going to be holding off his announcement of what tentatively looks like it's going to be Mike Pence from the governor of the great state of Indiana. Whether that's actually going to happen or not, we don't know. So it could just be a complete fit, and he's got someone else in mind altogether. Never know. But he says he abruptly postponed his plane announcement on Friday with his VP running mate because of a deadly truck attack in France. Well, Republican sources said his choice was expected to be Indiana Governor Mike Pence. Viewed as a safe pair of hands, Pence, 57, has diverging views with Trump. Wants to propose a Muslim ban on trade and is more socially conservative, but he could help unify the divided party behind Trump's White House bid. Trump was due to make his official announcement on his choice on Friday at 11 a.m. in Manhattan, but he tweeted on Thursday night that the attack in Nice, where the truck slammed into a crowd killing dozens of people, prompted him to delay. According to his tweets, it is in light of the horrible attack in Nice, France, I have postponed tomorrow's news event, Kurt, concerning my vice presidential announcement. So again, I do respect that very much, Mr. Trump, and shows that you obviously have a heart and a good soul, that's for sure. Okay, so we're going to the lineup for the GOP convention. It's going to be very interesting. GOP reveals speaker list for next week's convention. And, of course, it looks like all the neocons will not be there, which has really said a lot. This really does say a lot. On Thursday, Republican National Convention CEO Jeff Larson released the partial list of names scheduled to speak at the convention in Cleveland next week. The list of more than 60 names includes multiple members of presumptive party nominee Donald Trump's family, a few rumored running mates, and a number of former foes from the heated primary season. Trump's children, Eric, Ivanka, Tiffany, and Donald Jr. are listed as speakers along with the presumptive presidential candidate's wife, Melania. At resolutionrdo.com, sunnythomas.com. Also check out my music websites at thehmd.com. Also go to cfccohio.org, springboardteaparty.com, and follow some respective Twitter and YouTube channels and find out what's going on in politics, music, life in general, and just other great things through our thing. We also have two advocacy pages. We have Air Alex Jones on WHIO-WKRC at facebook.com/AlexJonesWHIO.WKRC. And also go to Southwest Ohio for Trump at facebook.com/SWOhio, the word for and Trump. And you can also follow those respective Twitter accounts as well. All right, there. So, launching my house, and definitely looking forward to next week and again on the 28th. Join us for Rebecca Barnett to talk about the White Lives Matter rally on July the 30th. And we also have some other musical artists that are coming up in the next couple of weeks. And very much looking forward to digging into some more music. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode with the tribute to the new wave of British heavy metal. I actually got some pretty good reviews from that. And we're looking at doing a second one probably in the fall. So we'll find a lot more of the bands from the new wave of British heavy metal. So, again, we're looking forward to checking that out and really getting the word out there, because it was a really great time period overall. So, like, again, so I'm Mahat, and we'll catch you out. Follow me on at Spring Time for Show or at Springboro TTEA on Twitter. Also, follow Carrie Ann Jean on Twitter and go to her website at carrieannjean.com. Sponsor my heart.
You're listening to Resolution Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.